Yeah, I made the beat, I did the rhymes,
and I did the bass. I did the bass, and I did some drums.
Sam played,
right?
Did some drums.
Yeah.
Now you played the finger tambourines.
Yeah. No, I played the flute. You could barely hear it in the back. He kind of sampled me out. He heard the flute was going doo 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 doo, and then he just kind of like floated it down.
Not still in there though.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
Big Louie's a little Jew.
Oops.
I feel like a duck-billed platypus.
Ow!
Dude, check out the Knox.
It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Let's go, Tybalt! Great adventures await!
Hey, buddy. Welcome back to Dystopian Dance Party's Year of the Weasel. This is a year where we watch a Pauly Shore movie and engage with Pauly Shore ephemera for an entire year, so for 12 months. I'm Callie.
I'm Zach. And hopefully the lag is better. We're on a different platform this time because I got tired of editing out the 4-second pauses between everything we said.
And also hopefully my audio is better because last week I was recording my own with Audacity and it crashed and just like never, ever, ever saved. And then when I opened up the program today, it was like, did you want this back? And I'm like, well, now it's too late.
Yeah, it's I feel like at this point we've been doing this podcast for almost 10 years. And I think at this point I'm no longer expecting us to get better at it. I think this is
honestly
the peak.
All of the podcasts that I listen to, they just put out weekly podcasts and barely edit them. And some weeks the audio is good and some weeks the audio sucks. And I listen. So I don't know if it's good enough for me. It's good
enough
for you.
So maybe this is normal. I honestly wasn't even really sure what we were going to talk about this time. But then, as literally the day that I was editing the In the Army Now episode, I found a ZZ Top video for the World of Swirl song that plays toward the end of In the Army Now. And Pauly Shore is featured prominently in it. And neither of us knew that this existed.
Which
so then
is
we were
actually
like, okay.
Crazy because ZZ Top and Pauly Shore are two things that I feel like we would find out about.
This is like, yeah, like you think, what's the Venn diagram of ZZ Top and Pauly Shore? It is literally us in the middle. And yet somehow this completely flew past us until it was time to edit the episode.
The holy combination of Sloppy Toppy and a Stony Crusty Dude.
Exactly. So yeah, this is kind of turning into a sort of a music video episode. So we're going to talk about the various music videos Pauly Shore has been in, and some of which we've covered already, some of which are very relevant, and some of which are a little bit into the future, but you know, it's something to talk about. One quick thing, I do want to shout out another comment. Actually, there's a couple here. I missed one of these. So I want to once again shout out our listeners who are sticking it out with us through this experiment. This is relevant to this. Marty White says, I'm having trouble figuring this guy out. Either he's a comedic genius pulling off an elaborate troll job. He's not an unfunny moron who has made a career out of acting like an unfunny moron 100% of the time. Or he really is an unfunny moron with enough sadness in his eyes, even when he's smiling, that we put up with him saying, buddy, while getting a genuine chuckle out of it. Plus, he has a nicer ass than Mike, so there's that. That's, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. That is kind of that's the thesis of this podcast.
Yeah. Like,
is Pauly Shore funny on purpose or not? And I don't think... I don't think we've come up with I feel like we've batted around various explanations you know, various theories, but we don't have a definitive answer because, you know, I was feeling more confident in the Pauly Shore is funny thesis. And then we watched In the Army Now, which was not funny at all. So
I feel like this is kind of a niche comment, I guess, because it would require you to both be interested in Pauly Shore and Sanrio characters, which I feel like there's not a whole lot of overlap, but I feel like other than me, I feel right. like there's like a thing in me where it's like Pauly Shore encapsulates like what kind of comedian I like, where I'm not sure if they're really being funny. There's a lot of anti-humor. They're trying really hard to be liked and they have a deep sadness in their eyes. And that, like, Pauly Shore reminds me of the Sanrio character Hangudan, who's like a fish guy who's a comedian, but he's kind of like a sad, like romantic fish. And he's one of my favorite Sanrio characters. And it just like clicked to me where I'm like, okay, this is just a thing I have. Like, I think that I could speak for myself. I am just kind of set up to be a Pauly Shore fan. It's not for everybody, but
right,
I like
right.
that kind of like sadness. I'm not sure if it's a joke or not. Like literally the way that he ended that Arsenio Hall sketch yeah. is like that encapsulates what it is for me that makes me a fan.
You got a tattoo of that Sanrio guy just a couple of
I
days
did,
ago.
Yeah,
right?
It's hanging down.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there he is. Yeah.
Yep. I should get Pauly Shore right next to him.
I was right just going to ask, when are you getting your Pauly Shore tattoo?
Honestly, that would be hilarious if at the end of this we both got Pauly Shore tattoos. We both.
That'll be the last episode. We'll record it while we're being tattooed. And it's going to be, you know, the picture that we use, just that dead-eyed stare. In two different styles. Anyway, so one more. Oh, actually, two more comments. One is from Jukebox Cowboy. So it's like I feel like we won Dystopian Dance Party listener bingo because the cowboy finally showed up. So Jukebox Cowboy said he just saw Pauly's dad on an old episode of Celebrity Bowling. Everything makes perfect sense now. You know, I understand what he means by that, but I'm realizing that I've actually never seen Sammy Shore. Maybe we'll find something because I know that they've collaborated before. Maybe we'll cover something with both of them. Cause I have a vague idea of what his comedy is like. Corny, basically, is how I'm picturing it. Like, you know, sort of in the Rodney Dangerfield vein, old-fashioned Friars Club type, you know, Vegas kind of comedy, you know, but I have never actually encountered any. So interesting. Well, I'll have to see if I could dig up some Sammy Shore.
Yeah,
material.
I actually want to. I never even thought about that. I've seen pictures.
Right. Right.
I've never actually seen the man in act. Like I've never even seen like a video. I don't think of Sammy
yeah.
Shore.
Yeah.
Let alone yeah. like him actually performing.
So thank you. And then one more. This is from Instagram. So this is actually my Kia's old college friend, Cliff, commented on my post about In the Army Now and said, In the Army Now has been and forever shall be S tier. And so hopefully he didn't listen to the episode.
Yeah, I saw that. Agree. And I chose not to comment because I was like, I don't
too.
Know.
Yeah.
Like well, not only that, but like I've explained in many of the episodes, I can't tell when people are kidding or not, which is right. again, why I'm probably a Pauly Shore fan. Cause I'm like, I'm like hyper aware of the fact that I take things literally. So it makes me pause and go like, I don't know what to do with this now. Cause I'm like, to right. me, this sounds like a joke, but I
right.
don't think it is.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's like just
I'm
referring
sure that,
to In the Army Now as S tier. We should do one of those ranking lists.
We should do
that
a tier
should be a mini,
at the end.
Yeah, that should yeah. be a mini-sode.
Or toward the end. Yeah, I definitely think a tier list is a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, we'll make
right now, I'm spoiler, Cliff, if you're watching, you're probably not watching this, but if you are watching this, I just want to let you know that I don't think In the Army Now is going to make it onto our S tier list.
In the Army Now is, for me, firmly at the bottom, and I can say that without having watched all the movies. But it's also subjective, because I'm putting Biodome high up on that list, and I feel like that's one of the worst movies.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You know, like everybody walks away with a different impression. So variety is the spice of life. So, okay, let's talk about, that's all the comments. I haven't been promoting our videos.
So, I did see one comment. I don't know if we already talked about it, but I can't remember who it was, but it was someone who was like, I'm tapping out, y'all.
Let me see.
Tried to stay on as long as I could, but I can't do it.
Oh yeah, that was I think we talked about that last time. I think that okay. I think that's what Humongous said.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
which is understandable. I can't even be mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, it's too bad that this is the only thing that we can find, because we're just like very busy and also kind of lazy. And so this is literally all, like, for a while I was thinking, oh, maybe once we get our groove with the Weasel stuff, maybe we can start doing a book club again. And like, I do want to do book club again. I just don't know if I could do them both at the same time, or like something radically, something would need to change about my life.
Yeah. I would need to be paid to stay at home instead of having to work three jobs.
Right.
If someone wants to pay me to talk about Pauly Shore and read books,
if
I
somebody
will make
out
so
there,
much goddamn content for y'all.
Right. I'm just saying, if any eccentric billionaires are watching this and are like, yeah, I wish that they would
wish
make
there was
more stuff.
There was more Pauly Shore content.
Then you know where to find us. You can find it. You can email us. You could be the first person to email us at heybuddy@dystopiandanceparty.com.
No one has used that yet. I'm not totally surprised. But
no. There's probably like, I tell them it's three U's, but there's probably like a bunch of missed messages because somebody put in four U's or two U's. Or, but I refuse to, like, hey buddy is not, that's not on
that's
brand,
not it.
Right?
What about hello? But then that could be used for 12 months. I'm like, and you're the Weasel. So it's
right. If we'd had the forethought. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about music videos. The first one we've already, I don't think we need to belabor. I don't know. Unless you can think of something else to say.
No,
about
I just think it's
Lisa
worth mentioning his music video, starring in music videos, predated when he was in a whole bunch of Limp Bizkit videos.
Right.
That's basically all I want to say about it.
Yeah, and if you want to hear us talk about Lisa, we have talked about it quite a bit. probably, I feel like the main place where we talked about it was in the second episode, about all of the, you know, like Totally Pauly and stuff. That was the peak Weasel era, and he had his own music video. He was on MTV as a VJ. He was on MTV as an artist. And that's where Lisa was his moment in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, we are firmly in the decline of Pauly's career now. And we're only, how many months in are we in? When did we start this? In February? So we're
something
only like what, 6 months
like
in? So if you didn't, if you were not a fan at the beginning of this experiment, then you're not going to like the last half.
Unless you prefer his, you know, maybe he improved as his commercial fortunes declined, you know, because like there's people who like Prince, like 90s Prince better than 80s Prince. So maybe there's people who like 2000s Pauly Shore.
Yes, to be fair, though, there were specific reasons for that. And also, Prince's quality never declined.
That is true. And also, Prince's quality was significantly higher.
I think even Pauly would agree with that. Pauly seems like a Prince fan, just based on every stand-up routine I've seen where he references Prince. So...
So, Lisa, and then I think we mentioned this in passing, but I will always have space to talk about You're Invited, But Your Friend Can't Come.
Oh,
he was
in
the video for that. Basically.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in the video for that.
Yeah, so he's basically in character as Stoney, I think. It's hard to tell, as we know, because there's a very fine line between Stoney and Pauly. But he pulls up in his little scooter that he's riding in the in Encino Man, and is like obviously, you know, trying to wheeze on some chicks. And he's saying like, Vince Neil's recording a music video, and you know, I know him.
Oh,
and,
yeah, like, okay, I remember this now. I'm watching it on the phone.
Yeah, in a very similar way to how Max tries to wheeze on whatever her name is in a Goofy movie through an invented connection to Powerline. Yeah. So you know, it's
except the difference is that Pauly Shore actually knew Vince Neil.
That is true.
Whereas and also Max is just a much fucking less, liar.
Right. And also it's much less impressive to know Vince Neil than Powerline.
I mean, I guess. I guess so. In the world of the movie, yes. Here's a question, and we'll talk about this, I guess, more in Goofy Movie, in our Goofy Movie episode. They're going to LA to see the Powerline concert. In a Goofy movie, do you think that Pauly Shore and Vince Neil exist? This is important for our conception of the Pollyverse.
I don't know. That's a good question.
And does Tevin Campbell exist?
Right. Because I feel like Tevin Campbell doesn't, because Tevin Campbell is Powerline, you know? So
yeah, but Pauly Shore is Bobby. So
right. Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, just some food for thought. We'll discuss that more. If that seemed really engaging to you, then check out our episode on Goofy Movie and Extremely Goofy Movie.
Yeah. I feel like that's all I have to say about You're Invited, But Your Friend Can't Come, other than, of course, the song and other video are both masterpieces.
It's probably the best song that we're going to talk about. Although I like the Young Buck song, but
yeah.
He might have been in more, too. This was not a comprehensive list. This is just what I was able to, like, push out before I had to go to work.
Right. I couldn't find, I wanted to see, because I thought, okay, you know, it's three movies with Disney, presumably Hollywood Records is involved. And so they wanted to do some like cross promotion. And, you know, so they did it with Encino Man. They did it with In the Army Now. I don't think they did it with Son-in-Law. Somebody out there, if there's a Pauly Shore scholar out there watching this who wants to correct us, I would love for there to be a Son-in-Law video, but I don't think that there was. I don't think there was like a Thank God I'm a Country Boy 93 or whatever with John Denver singing and Pauly Shore awkwardly dancing in the background. But I wish there was.
I mean, yeah. You did the Muppets. It's not that different.
Pauly Shore is kind of a human Muppet. So I think chronologically, World of Swirl is the next one. And I mean, what is there to say about it?
Other than it rules.
Other than it rules. Yeah. I mean, it is like, it is a real Avengers Endgame kind of experience to see ZZ Top, who, of course, are in some of the greatest music videos of all time, you know, the trilogy from the Eliminator album, and to see them kind of interacting with Pauly Shore. It's like a real Clash of the Titans kind of, you know, finally they came together. Finally,
I feel like I said before, like that's only for us, though, because who right. else gives a fuck about those two specific things? Like, who else is that excited about seeing ZZ Top in the 90s? I guess they were in the Santa Claus. Did they have a video with Tim Allen, because they were in, they had a song in the Santa Claus?
Oh, man. Despite being a Tim Allen super fan, I don't know.
The thought just occurred to me. I don't even really need an answer. I just wanted to put the question out there.
When we do 12 months of Tim Allen, which will start with a full series rewatch of Home Improvement. I've kind of got it on. I'm sort of watching it on silent right now. World of Swirl, it's like, it's mostly a ZZ Top performance video. And then, of course, there's the classic cutaways to, you know, scenes from In the Army Now. And then there's also just, you know, Paulie's just doing what he does. So there's also cutaways to ZZ Top. They're mostly just snapping their fingers and Pauly Shore is like dancing around them in military uniform. And then also Pauly is at the ZZ Top concert, you know, just clowning around while they play. And that's basically it. But that's all there really needs to be, you know?
Yeah, I don't need anything else. That's all I ever asked for. Right. I would have, the only other thing I would have loved is to be on the set of this. Like, they really are snapping their fingers on it. Do you think they were, hold on. Yeah. Okay. So do you think they like recorded this the same day? Like, do you think Pauly Shore and ZZ Top were in the same studio, like on at the same time?
It definitely seems like it, because they definitely seem to be in the same shot. And I have to assume that this was not a multi-day shoot.
Okay, yeah, like, yeah. I just got to one where they're together, because at first I was like, I'm just seeing performances.
Right.
And then Pauly Shore, but yeah, I did just see one where they're together.
There's not a lot of interaction. And I mean, and ZZ Top just kind of seems vaguely bemused by Pauly Shore's antics, his buffoonery. You know,
at the end, he does get stripped, which honestly, that happens in a lot of music videos that he appears in where he ends up nude at the end or nearly nude. Because it also happens in one of the Limp Bizkit videos.
Oh, yeah. And then what are the top doing? It's almost like, what is that Hawaiian dancing called?
Hula dancing?
What? Hula dancing. Yeah, it's almost a little hula, some of the moves.
Oh, yeah, I did see that where they're doing like this.
Yeah. I mean, ZZ Top, their choreography is basically three guys standing in a row and doing one move in unison. Like, there's, you know, like in the Eliminator videos, there's a lot of like pointing together at the same time. So I feel like that's pretty much
full circle too, because remember that episode of Totally Pauly where he sees the guy with the beard and he goes up to him? It's kind of like a full circle moment.
Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he? That's it. Right. It's right there.
Yeah. Why didn't he reference a previous episode of Totally Pauly?
Maybe that would have been disrespectful to do that to Sloppy Toppy. You can't, you know, their beards are national treasures, so you can't mock.
Yeah, that was in the contract that was the only thing you couldn't do was touch them, touch their beards.
Or gesture toward them. So then I think, because I'm not going to count, I'm sure there was some kind of music video content from a Goofy Movie, which probably had, you know, like maybe incorporated Bobby, Pauly Shore's character, but that's not Pauly Shore.
It probably wasn't the voice either. It was probably just like an animation from the movie, and there was no actual physical Pauly Shore action.
Right.
And plus, he's barely the weasel in Goofy Movie.
Yeah. I've got stuff to say about these movies, but very little of it has to do with Pauly Shore. So yeah. I think that chronologically, the next one we're looking at is N to, what the fuck is this? N Together Now? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, what the hell? I'm already mad. But yeah, so 1999. So this is very much like, this is post-decline Pauly Shore. It's Limp Bizkit and Method Man. And this was
for
sort
some
of
reason
like,
they are dressed identically. I don't know why. Like, it opens up with just Method Man. They were really trying to make the fitted cap that Fred Durst wears like a uniform, like a iconic.
Right.
Like if he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the red fitted cap will be what his artifact is. Because like in a lot of these videos, there's a whole bunch of people wearing the Fred Durst red fitted cap, and I'm like, why were they trying to make this a thing? Was it a thing? Like, obviously it is iconic. Like, when I see a red fitted cap, I do think about Fred Durst, but it just is such a bizarre thing. Like, it seems like that would be like something that you would associate with him after the fact, but it seems like at the time they were trying to make the red fitted cap a thing. Like, they were like, this is the Fred Durst thing. This is an iconic thing that he wears.
Right.
The Limp Bizkit stuff is weird for me because we've talked about this before. I talked about this a little bit on my other podcast that I don't know if I'll ever do again, because we kept getting flagged for putting music up and we just were too lazy to fix it. But my association with nu metal is just kind of like on the outside looking in. I really didn't realize that it was so popular because I lived a sheltered lifestyle where I'm like, yeah, everything in the early 2000s and late 90s was garage rock revival. And J-rock, right? And then right. come to find out that apparently everyone was into nu metal and I just completely missed me.
Yeah,
and I think I was sheltered from it in my household.
Yeah, I think that was my fault too, because like I very
and mom's, specifically like mom deserves some credit for that too.
Yeah, screamed out. Yeah, I very specifically missed nu metal. Like I was obviously aware of it because I'm older than you. And so, you know, people at my high school listened to Limp Bizkit and Korn and stuff, but I was very much not a fan of that. Honestly, I probably have a softer spot for nu metal now than I did at the time, just because I take shit less seriously in general. Yeah. But yeah, like I was
not only that, but looking back, there's like a certain amount of nostalgia for things that even at the time I didn't like. And I also really love the movie Queen of the Damned. And so that has kind of made me have like a little bit of an ironic love of nu metal, because it's just so right. funny that like nu metal was so popular that they decided that a vampire band would be nu metal. It's so weird.
Yeah. But like, you know, never wore JNCOs. I actually, until the Strokes came out, because I have very skinny legs. So like until the Strokes came out and you could actually buy skinny jeans for men, I had to wear women's jeans to find jeans that I liked the way they fit me. The late 90s was just a cultural wasteland.
For me though, like that, because I wasn't a teenager, I was a kid. So for me, it was like, music is great. Because yeah. I was listening to like Japanese rock, the White Stripes,
right.
like right. all of this cool garage rock revival stuff from Detroit. And then like throughout the rest of the country, like other garage rock revival. Mm. So that was what I thought music was, and like Gorillaz and all. So I'm like, man, music is so good from this period. I'm like super nostalgic about it. But I guess for everyone else who wasn't in this like sheltered household, it was just like nu metal wasteland. It literally took me like 15 to 20 years to figure that out. Like I had no idea. It was a couple years ago that I realized that I'm like, right. okay, people actually like Limp Bizkit. I genuinely had no idea.
And I actually, that reminds me that I think another reason, we lived close to Detroit, so we were sort of, you know, I wasn't like part of that scene, but I was like a peripheral, you know, that those are the concerts that I would go to. I saw the Dirt Bombs a ton of times, and you know, the Henchmen, right, and all those guys. Yeah, we had like a local scene, so why would we want to listen to Limp Bizkit? Basically.
So anyway, now I actually have to talk about the fucking music videos.
Right.
This is the most Limp Bizkit I've ever listened to in my life. So Method Man and Fred Durst are dressed identically, not sure why. And for some reason they're hanging out playing PS1 games. Are they playing WWF Attitude? Because it is 1999, so I think they might be playing, because they're playing a PS1 wrestling game.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
And I know
Attitude
came out in 99. And it looked like what I remember Attitude looking like.
Yeah, we definitely, that is something I can relate to. Like that, yeah. That was some shit that I was into in the early 2000s.
Oh man, Attitude, it was a shitty wrestling game.
Right.
It was amazing.
But there were such, the character creation was.
I love wrestling games for that reason. So in Attitude, that was back when it was WWF too, not WWE.
Right.
But you could make freaks.
Yeah.
Like any skin tone, any size, appendages. I'm so mad because we came up with this idea, but we never tried to monetize off of it. But if you've ever seen the McElroy brothers do Monster Factory.
Oh, yeah.
That's that's literally what we were doing in the 90s and 2000s with WWF games. So we would do that, or we would make like people we knew. So we made our teachers. stuff. Yeah. And then would make them fight. And like, just people around town. We made the monkeys and then like the actual band, the monkeys. So all four members. And then one of the members has the name similar to this guy who. Remember when we made Davy Jones and then you changed it to the guy in our town who also had that name that was just like a person we knew? And so I came home and I was like, why is this old man instead of Davy Jones? I was just trying to make a four-person match with the monkeys.
That's right. I forgot about that. God. Yeah.
I feel like that, like, all the PS1 games we had, like, we had a whole bunch of cool, like, JRPGs. I feel like I spent the most time on that stupid fucking wrestling game. You probably have the fondest
memories of Attitude.
That's where, because you could pick different sounds for them, like their intro music. And remember Mr. Ass, his son was on there?
Oh, so yeah, always make, that's a classic.
Make wrestlers with, I'm an ass man.
I've never, like, this was my, you know, I was actually into wrestling in the, like, late 80s, early 90s. By the time this came out, I was not really into wrestling, which is kind of like
familiar with Mr. Ass.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Mr. Ass. I feel like I sort of missed out on something though, because I'm a big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin's cat content on Instagram.
Yeah,
but I've gone
back because one of my favorite things to watch on like Instagram is a bunch of reels of like old, not only 80s and 90s, but also now 2000s. Because honestly,
yeah,
I'm not a fan of The Rock, but some of his wrestling content was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I liked him better back then.
Yeah. The Rock, Stone Cold, all those guys, like, I know through the video games. And then, of course, they're later, you know, well, more so The Rock. The Rock as an actor, Stone Cold as a cat dad. But I mean, you know, but I honestly, if I had to choose which one to consume, it would definitely be Stone Cold's cat dad content. So,
yeah.
Also, when is Stone Cold going to be in the Fast and the Furious movies? Because everybody fucking else is. So come on.
Right. It's only a matter of time. They need one more bald person, I think. One more bald beefcake to be in those movies. There's definitely not enough right now. So anyway, most of this episode is going to be about WWF Attitude instead of about music videos. We have not talked about where Pauly Shore shows up, but part of that is because it's just like super brief. He just shows
it's
up
very
maybe
incidental.
Halfway through.
He's like delivering pizza to Method Man and Fred Durst, right? While they have this gaming sesh.
He eats half of it. And he's also wearing a shirt that says Pauly's Pizza, which makes me think that he not only owns the company, but also delivers the pizza. Which is really interesting.
One man operation, like a true.
Yeah, like, does he also make the pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he eats half of it and then they beat him up because they like immediately discover it. Because he's eating it on their doorstep, and then they open the door and they look at their pizza and it's half eaten. And so they beat
his
ass.
He's probably hungry because he had to eat and deliver the pizza himself. He doesn't have any time for a break.
I find it funny because it's like he's playing the role that you, I feel like, get Pauly Shore to play, like
right.
It's what you hire Pauly Shore to do, where he's just like an annoying guy that you beat up basically. Like,
right, it's a Pauly Shore role. Yeah. It's like a real full circle moment, because you know the whole weasel thing is over, but he is still
it's very Lisa
brutalized.
Lisa where he gets beat up and thrown into a dumpster, and I feel like in that he did have pizza stuck on him from the dumpster, so maybe it's a reference. It's like an Easter egg. He was also in Break Stuff. I don't know anything about Limp Bizkit. Is it from the same album? Don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, probably. The main thing I know about Break Stuff is it was the song that a lot of
incited
the Woodstock,
riot at,
Woodstock 99 Woodstock 99 riots were blamed on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The video is just a bunch of people dancing and lip syncing to Limp Bizkit. Which gives the impression that anyone, it's like anyone and everyone loves Limp Bizkit. That's the branding here. It's like anyone can love this, which I guess was fucking true, and I just didn't know. I thought it was a very specific crowd who was into Limp Bizkit. But Pauly shows up pretty much about halfway through again, and he's sandwiched between these two Jonathan Davis from Korn cameos. It's like I almost missed him. It's really a blink and you'll miss a moment. But he's dressed similarly to the Weasel. He's in like Weasel garb. He even has a wig.
Oh,
I think it's supposed to be kind of a throwback to Encino Man because he's got like a mesh top. He's got a fur vest on and then a Weasel wig, like the curly mop on top wig. And the next time you see him, the wig is off. And then the next time after that, you see him, the shirt is off. And then the next time you see him after that, his pants are unzipped and he's humping something. So like, that's the Pauly Shore cameo in that.
And then this one we didn't know about until today, until I checked the IMDb page. But I think we can probably safely skip over this or like just gloss over it. So the Faith / Fame remix. So if you're familiar, Limp Bizkit did a shitty version of George Michael's Faith that was basically like a no homo.
Oh my
of
God,
of
I forgot
Faith.
About that.
You know, it's like the only way you can sing Faith and not have your dick fall off is you have to go Faith, and it has to be like like a joke. So anyway, that was a thing. And then they did a remix of it, which I think was mixed with Fame by David Bowie. And that is the version that Pauly Shore is in. But I think he's just like sort of, as far as I can tell, he's just sort of at the beginning of it with Fred Durst, just like chilling in the studio. It's nothing to write home about.
I mean, none of these are anything to write home about. He's barely in any of these, to be fair. Actually, the one he's the most in is the next one, which is actually the music video that it is the reason I wanted to talk about Pauly Shore and music videos. Because I found this a few years ago, like maybe like 5 years ago or so. I had always seen the video to Shorty Won't Arrive by Young Buck where it's just like the diner scene and they're assaulting other patrons of the diner.
Right.
But there's a longer version that Pauly Shore appears in that I found fairly recently. So at the beginning, like it starts out right away in terms of Pauly Shore payoff. This is the best one because he has the biggest role and he appears almost immediately. And he's playing Jim Williamson, who's reporting for Ride Reality TV. And for some reason, they're looking for Young Buck. I'm not sure why. I guess because Young Buck is on the run in the story of this music video. I'm not sure why. But he has this, like, I guess, like, David Attenborough kind of accent where he just sounds like a British accent.
How are you? My name is Jim Williamson for Ride Reality TV. We're standing here in the dirty south looking for Young Buck and the Jonathan.
The whole time he's yelling.
Yeah.
I mean, but then he appears at the beginning and then he appears throughout, like here and there, and it's just like him yelling into a microphone. At one point, he's at the beginning, and then the next time you see him, they're in this green screen car chase, and he just like appears from the back, like he throws off like a blanket or something that's covering him, and he appears in the back, and he's like yelling about like, "We're here with Young Buck for Rar Reality TV," and I guess like they found him or whatever. And then for some reason, they're in this like jail or something. I don't really know what's going on. It's a lot of chaos, but the whole time Pauly Shore is yelling into the TV, into like the microphone, and like the camera is like right up to his face. They're like going into all these rooms and there's like aliens. So I don't know if it's like Illuminati stuff. So I guess Young Buck is uncovering all these like government secrets and it's all caught on Ride Reality TV hosted by Jim Williamson.
This is also like,
I don't know.
This is fucking crazy because I've heard this song. And like, what of any of this has to do with Shorty Wanna Ride?
I hope, this is what I was thinking about, is that I really hope, I mean, like, they're on the run, I guess, that's about it. But I really hope that it wasn't like some executive's idea. I really hope that Young Buck specifically wanted Pauly Shore to be in this video. And he was like, I want this. This is going to be what the video is. I need Pauly Shore.
No, nobody else could do this role. Well, that is, funny.
Sorry, this is unrelated to anything except Young Buck. Did I tell you about how I used to follow Young Buck on Instagram for some reason? Just because it was kind of funny that Young Buck had an Instagram. But I had to unfollow him because he would go live all the time. And I would accidentally click on it because I always accidentally click on lives and then immediately leave. And he would always go on live and it would just be him in a big truck, like talking to the camera. Like, it was just like Uncle content, basically. But the reason I unfollowed is because I was in a cab in San Francisco with a whole bunch of people because I took like an Uber, like, you know, when you can take like Uber with a whole bunch of people to save money. And so I was in one of those, and then I'm scrolling on Instagram and I accidentally click on Young Buck's video and my volume was all the way up. And I was like, all right, this is it. I have to unfollow Young Buck.
Well, that's more interesting. Like, between than what
him
I was
and
say.
Daz Dillinger, I followed Daz for the same reason because it was kind of funny. But those motherfuckers went live all the time. And I'm like, I cannot accidentally click on your lives anymore.
The people that I have followed as a joke, which are often sort of like past their prime rappers, are the most active on social media of anyone. And I always, it never ends up being as funny. And then also, like, another thing that happens a lot to people at that level of celebrity is their account gets hacked and then they just start posting full on porn. Like, that happens so much on Facebook. There were like weeks when like Belle Biv DeVoe or somebody was just like posting porn because somebody hacked them.
The best one, that didn't happen, at least as far as I know, but the one that actually paid off was when I followed Warren G, and this video isn't on his Instagram anymore. I've gone looking for it. I wish it was, and this was before it was, like, easy to take videos off of your phone. Like, this was way back, like, pretty early Instagram, but he had this video where he was at Cracker Barrel. And he was looking on the country shop or whatever. And he was looking at the candy and he was like, man, they got all this damn candy. Man, they got everything. They got Tootsie Rolls, everything. And then he was showing these like big things of candy. And it was so funny. And I can't, like, it was such like a niche video. And I wish I had screenshotted him. It's the same as the Joe Walsh video. Yeah, where I'm like, no one will believe me that this before. Existed. I know. And I'm like, it's just lost media now. And it's a damn shame because I wish, man, I wish I, like, almost every day I think about, like, one of my biggest regrets is I wish I had that video. She looked at a candy and a Cracker Barrel.
That's more fun than what I was going to, the last thing that I was going to say is just that, like, Limp Bizkit and Pauly Shore, that is like a thing that, like, I still see Fred Durst, you know, we follow Pauly Shore's podcast and stuff. So I still see like Fred Durst does an episode or something. So they actually seem to be friends. It really does seem like Pauly and Young Buck.
In the video to Break Stuff, he has a sign that says, I know Fred Durst, so we can assume that they're friends.
much like so many callbacks, exactly like the Vince Neil video. There's obviously like a friendship there. It really does seem like Young Buck and Pauly Shore only cross paths in that one glorious moment for the Shorty Wanna Ride video. But I don't know. I don't like I haven't searched. I haven't looked to see if Young Buck ever made an appearance on Jam in the Van. So you never know.
I mean, maybe Pauly made an appearance in some of those lives, but I was just always in a cab. So I had to click out of them so quick that I never saw the actual interview. Maybe it's like an interview of him smoking in his truck and Pauly Shore was there and I missed it.
Well, that's what happens when it's the live experience.
When
you gotta
accidentally
be there.
Click on a live and immediately click out because I don't want to watch Young Buck in a truck. That's you where the show should be. Young Jam Buck in the van.
Pauly Shore.
So it's Jam in the van, and then there should be Young Buck in a truck.
Buck in the truck. All right. Well, we talked more about music videos than I thought we were. Well, I mean, we didn't talk that much about music videos.
We talked more
than I thought we were going to talk about. So this is a nice episode. And this will be a nice offset because I feel like I don't know what the fuck we're going to say about the two Goofy movies. So in the meantime, we'll keep you in suspense about what we're going to say about the Goofy movies. But if you want to leave a comment or whatever, you can find us on Instagram at DystopianGram. You can find us at YouTube at Dystopian Dance Party, on the web, dystopiandanceparty.com. And you can email us if you want to fund our podcast network. We're open to offers. Feel free. So you can email us at heybuddy@dystopiandanceparty.com. And that is heybuddy@dystopiandanceparty.com. Serious inquiries only. Don't fuck with us. We'll know if you're for real or not. So we'll see you in a couple weeks to talk about Goofy. Wanna ride with me, ride with me, let your head down. You said you wanna go, don't be scared now. Shorty wanna ride with me, ride with me. Can you believe it? Young Buck, an exclusive on Ride Reality TV. Young Buck, where are we going? We headed to the dirty, dirty Cashville, you heard? Well, then you heard, you're not this ride. Shorty wanna ride with me, ride with me. We can get it low, yeah. Hop into the Chevy, folk, don't blow, drone. Wanna ride with me, ride with me. Let your head down. You said you wanna thug, don't be scared now. Shorty wanna ride with me, ride with me. Freak if you want to. G-Unit in this bitch, shorty. What you gonna do? Fuck if you doubt that. I can make them bounce back. G-Unit in this bitch, shorty. Freak if you want to. G-Unit in this bitch, shorty. What you gon' do? Walk if you doubt that. I can make them bounce back. G-Unit in this bitch, shorty.